Channel 36, back again with another podcast. Today we are doing Gaming Urban Legends. Now, Gaming Urban Legends, as it goes, actually, as like most Urban Legends, are fueled by rumour and, well, to be honest, half-truths. And we're actually going to go through a few of them today, because I've been doing some stuff with the arcade machines, and I've come across a Urban Legend called Polybus. Now, I don't know if you guys know about Polybus.
Yeah, I haven't heard of it. No.
Now, Polybus is basically a 1982 arcade. It was in America, and they reckon basically this arcade machine could, indoctrinate people. Like it was like subliminal messaging in that. It was like it was supposed to be like a rip off from Tempest. It's supposed to be like a vector graphic game, and some of the stuff that come out with it is amazing. They actually did a remake on the internet, and you used to actually get options about like being able to cause people like nightmares and cause people to commit suicide and stuff like that. And there's actually a fair few sites about it now, actually trying to search out for Polybus. And it is quite mad. You know, how something so small come out from like a backwater-like place has become so big. Now, I don't know about you guys, if you've got any stories or anything like that. So, have you got any stories?
I have. I've tried loads of urban legends, and obviously when in a shop I get loads of people coming in and telling me like the urban legends they've heard of. I think the weirdest one I ever tried when I was younger was there was some kind of Spice Girls game on the PS1.
You had Spice Girls on?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Apparently, if you tap like the buttons in time with, I think it was like when two become one or something like that, it was supposed to unlock an extra character. And I remember like doing it and thinking, God, you know, this is like a really hard trick to get the timing right on every single button. But obviously, it was just an urban legend, so bit of a time waster.
It's just shocking that you actually had Spice World. It's actually not the name.
You see, I'd forgotten the name. You still remember it, so.
Oh, God, that's terrible. That's bad. Yeah, but carry on.
The most recent one I've heard of is apparently if you stick Sonic 3 into Sonic & Knuckles on the Mega Drive and actually tap the cartridge in a certain way, it's supposed to unlock extra levels.
So, yeah, I've heard a lot of stuff like that. You know, another Sonic one, to be honest, this one's actually quite disturbing. This actually, like a lot of people have actually made out, this is actually a quite a bad thing. It's actually in line with the like, stuff like The Ring and the Grudge.
Mm.
If you play Sonic on the Saturn, there's a character called Puppet Tails, and you probably already know about this. If you unlock Puppet Tails, you're supposed to get this curse, which causes either bad luck or death. And it's either activated by either playing his theme tune or playing it backwards or just playing as Puppet Tails. Now, to be honest, that for me is like completely out there, because we've all seen like stuff like the Grudge and The Ring, and it is completely far-fetched. You know, it's just mad. So some people can just like go from something so simple as an extra character to something that causes you to die. It's just mad.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. It's weird how people just make up stuff like that, or just completely just are so warped in a way. Mm. Yeah, it's like a Guitar Hero, the Spice, that tracing thing, won't that?
Yeah, you know, I find it interesting that all these urban legends have got like some element of risk or something like that, you know.
Well, to be honest, a lot of the urban legends are actually made by the companies themselves. You know, like for instance, Ermac on Mortal Kombat. Ermac was actually originally a urban legend on the arcade version of Mortal Kombat. If you go through some of the options on Mortal Kombat 1, I think it is, you get like different options at the bottom. There's something called Ermacs. And everyone that Sparse have played it for, it was an extra character. You know, like Reptile appears like if you do certain like a certain combination of things.
Yeah.
It was Sparse like another version of Reptile. It was dead mad. But that was actually like encouraged by the actual company Midway and Ed Boon to actually like get more people to play it. Obviously, you make out to someone, there's a lot more characters than actually is available, and people are going to try and get it.
Yeah, I think one of the most popular ones was Sheng Long was supposed to be in Street Fighter 2.
Yeah, Sheng Long, yeah.
Yeah.
That was crazy. You know, I mean, he turned into a proper character in the end, didn't he? He turned into Akuma's brother.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think I read somewhere that it was started as an April Fool's joke.
Well,
and a lot of these like virals that were more popular actually later went on to the game developers actually releasing the actual content that people were trying to get in the first place.
What he's actually supposed to stem from is a mistaken translation. Because Shenlong is actually Chinese for rising up a dragon punch or something like that. Which obviously Street Fighter being a being Japanese, being from Capcom, it got like completely warped and taken out of context. So when Ryu says you have to defeat Shenlong, it actually means he's uppercut. And people just took it the wrong way. And obviously that magazine, I can't remember which it was. I think it was it CVG? Or it's one of the others anyway. They just took completely out the context and just made something out of an April Fool's joke.
Yeah. I think it was Electronic Gaming, wasn't it?
I'm not too sure because, to be honest, again, I've had like a lot of different information about it. So, I'm not too sure which magazine it was, but it was a magazine that, as you mentioned, made it into an April Fool's joke.
Yeah, they actually did a few. And they seem to be the most popular, people going mad about them. I think they did another one, Zelda, and you had to try and find the Triforce. So people were searching all over for the Triforce.
Oh, was that one of the N64 ones? I think that was the Ocarina of Time, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah. Because there was a trailer for it showing the Triforce, if I remember right. And people just took it as there's the Triforce in the game.
Mm.
Yeah, but that's one of them.
They just snowball, don't they? There's like, you might get like, a hint towards something you can do. And then before you know it, it's like Chinese whispers. It's snowballed into something huge. But a lot of the time, you'd hear something and you'd think it was an urban legend. And then you'd go and try it. And it turned out it was actually like, a program cheat or a glitch.
Yes. Yes.
So it spurred you on to like trying to find the other things that people mentioned.
Well, it's like the flagpole thing in Mario. Obviously, that's... I don't want to say it's a glitch as such, but because it only like it crashes the game, so really it is a glitch, but it's not something that you can actually like really access without doing a lot of like work. Because obviously you need to build up speed and jump out of the flagpole to actually get it. Because all it causes is just the infinity loop within the game, so it basically crashes the game. But stuff like that, like I said, you get the extremes with stuff like Polybus and Puppet Tales. But something so small like the flagpole can cause something so big. It's amazing. It really is. People are so, I don't want to say gullible, but so drawn in by them.
Well, I think it's nice to think that you've discovered something that you weren't supposed to.
Well, yeah.
It adds that edge to it.
It's like cheating the system, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, it's like an achievement in itself. Yeah, it's like...
I remember... when I was 10 years old, I heard this glitch where you could get Lara Croft naked in Tomb Raider.
Oh, I was about to mention that one, because there's actually two of them. I actually heard about one in Tomb Raider 2. If you collected all the Jade Dragons and the Gold Dragons and the Silver Dragons and so on and so forth, if you collect all them, you know the show scene at the end where she shoots the camera?
Yeah.
It's supposed to actually, supposedly, it doesn't actually happen, but supposedly she goes into the shower and you can see her naked. Which, when I was that age, it was like, yay, I'm just trying to see you naked.
Yeah. I think it was at the end of the first one, wasn't it, where you saw her in the shower, but then the camera lens went all misted.
No, it's because it's number two, because it's where she's fighting the town. It's when she
takes it. Oh, yeah, that's right. You had to put the walking man, didn't you?
Yeah. But the first one was supposed to be like an explorer cheat for it as well. So you could get it like into like a skin-coloured like suit. So basically, she's like she was naked, but she wasn't really. But obviously, with the PC version as well, you could change the textures so she was nude. But
I think that that was so big that like in the modern games now, there's actually mods on them, isn't there, where you can actually get the code to see her nude.
Well, it's like Sims, isn't it? I know Sims. I ain't a pervert or anything like that. I haven't been going around looking at nude like sprites or anything like that because. I got porn, the internet's just full of porn, so I might as well go and get that. But there's The Sims, there's GTA, obviously. I know number 3 was rife with new patches and stuff like that. So Yeah, I think it's just 6 cells, isn't that? So it's one of them.
Mm.
If you tell a 12-year-old kid that Lara Croft will be naked, they're going to play for that game and make sure they try and get that woman naked, are they? So again, it's a bit of a corporate influence there.
Yeah, well, it's something to show your mates, isn't it? So.
Well, yeah, because obviously, if you turn and say, I saw Lara Croft naked, and it's like, well, I'm going to try it now. Especially like when you're just hitting puberty. I ain't going to go into too much detail because it's just disgusting, but still.
Yeah.
So you want to.
It is interesting, though, because you can imagine like kids going out and buying the game just because they've heard the rumours.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Yeah, obviously, especially games so popular like Street Fighter 2. And people playing so much, it's again a case of being, it's doing something that no one else has done.
Yeah.
Which is always what we want to do in games. You always want to beat the other person or have something else on top of them. Besides that, with Urban Legends and that, they do stem from truth. Like, for instance, with the Trace and the Guitar Hero, harmonics were supposed to be in like a Trace thing. So if you had the internet and you had an Xbox or a PS2 that was on the internet, you could actually send the information, or the information gets sent to Harmonix to see how good you was. But that actually stems from stuff like America's Army.
Yeah.
And there's another one with Silent Scope as well, where if you completed the game or completed the game in a certain way, you either get like either a number or you get some contact from a government branch to get recruited, supposedly. Or it was like a form of training. That's what they used to say.
Yeah. It is mad how many like urban legends you wish were true. Like some of the things people have come up with, I think there's one where you could find Leatherface in San Andreas.
Yeah, I heard about that one, yeah.
Yeah, you go into like the middle of the forest and you're just like, it sounds so cool, you wish it was true.
The thing is that stems from the texture thing again, wasn't it? You know, it's because a lot of people make a lot of fakes. You know, you got to admit, there's a lot of Photoshop shopping out there, and there's a lot of different ways you can actually modify games now, especially with PC games, because GTA was more of a PC game than anything else, yeah. Especially in its early generations. So I suppose it's one of them. You know, like, I think we definitely want the Tomb Raider new code to be true, though, don't we? Again, just all perverts, really.
Well, I think when that game was like big, I was about 12, so you know.
Yeah. You know, I'm the same. I think I was about 9, 10. Well, first, the game was about like 10, 11-ish, so it's not good. Yeah, but saying that, there were some of the games out there, like Dead or Alive 2. Yeah, I mean, that is just basically a boot fest, isn't it? I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't mind. You know, you're kicking some arse and seeing some jiggly boobs, but, you know, I mean, it's.
I think some of the characters in Final Fantasy are going that way as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, it's Japanese things, though, isn't it? I mean, most Japanese games, they have that element of... what's the word I'm looking for? It's almost like a underlying sexual tone. You know, especially most of them. Look at Chun-Li, it's a Street Fighter 2.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, she's more or less nude, like apart from like a strip, like waist down. Tits are almost out, so...
It's all for fan service, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, they know how to sell the games, and they know how to actually get us enticed. You know, it's a primal thing, and most of the games that are played back then were played by blokes. So obviously, they're going to sell the games by any means necessary, which obviously is showing off cleavage and leg. Which again, I'm not complaining about. You know, it's ace. You know, and, like. Yeah, you know, especially this day and age, you know, you see it everywhere, so...
Yeah, definitely... I saw a game the other day in the shop game, and there was actually not like an RPG that like, had sex or nudity in it, I think. Rated 12.
If I remember right, the big thing that really started, like set off a lot of like taboos and that was Dreamweb, if I remember right. There was actually a full-blown sex scene in it. We actually see them actually doing it. Although it was like a top-down view and you can really see details, like, I ain't going to get into too much detail, but you know what I mean. But there's actually a couple just doing it, and you could see that. And obviously that became a bit of a legend as well, because everyone was wanting to actually just see that scene. Because some legends are true, aren't they? So.
Yeah, you know, like when Tomb Raider came out, it was all a bit like taboo. And, you know, then all these other games started, like, pushing the boundaries. And then you had Grand Theft Auto, didn't you?
Yeah.
And everybody was like, God, this is like really extreme. And nowadays, you just take it as granted. It's just like, it's not shocking in any way anymore, is it?
Well, you look at Gears of War, you know what I mean? Like, my missus' youngest, he's 9, and he plays Gears of War. We keep it like a tab on like how he's playing or anything like that. So obviously, it is a bit too much for maybe a kid his age, but he's quite like advanced for his age, so we don't mind it. But if you look at that and compare that to a game, let's say about 5, 6 years ago, maybe a little bit more, you know what I mean? It's Gears of War is just terrible for the gore. You know, it's just ridiculous. It's like watching a slasher movie. It's that bad. You know, you see like people being chopped in two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong, it's great to see once or twice, but when you sell the game just on that, you know, the game is good. Don't get me wrong, Gears of War is absolutely brilliant, but if you just remember that game just for that, you know, there's something missing there.
You know, like, it's weird, isn't it? Someone came into my shop like a couple of days ago, and they told me if you've got a Master System 1 and it's got Super Hang-On and Safari Hunt built in, if you press like some certain buttons on the pad, you unlock a third game where you're a ladybird going around a maze.
Yeah.
And like, I've heard hundreds of pokes and hundreds of cheats, but I still want to try it, you know, just to see if it is real or not.
Well, the problem is a lot of us, especially gamers, we are method-based in what we think. You know, I mean, we want to go through it just to experience it and see if it does truly work. And I think no matter how many times you're told it's fake, you still want to try it just to see, just to make sure that you're not being bullshitted.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, it's like, for instance, it's like the Puppet Tales thing. Now, obviously, it's like my missus when I said to her about me playing Polybus, the PC version, when I told her about what it causes and that. It causes bad shit, to be fair, according to stories. Even I know it's going to could cause like damage to me, I still wanted to try it just to see if it does. And the same with the Puppet Tales thing, I would like to see if it does cause something like that. It's just mad, you know, it's just how crazy that story is.
See if there's any fact behind the myth.
Well, yeah, that's the whole thing, you know what I mean? It's all right being told it and people telling you, oh, it's mad, and this, that, and the other, and you want to try it because it's this, that, and the other, or telling the opposite, which is fake, and it doesn't exist. But I think we have to experience it for ourselves.
I think gamers are, like, inquisitive, and if there was a game that could control your mind, it would be, like, groundbreaking, wouldn't it? It would be, like, the next step.
Well, I'm not going too much into conspiracy theory, but to be fair, you know what I mean, it's been done for years. You know, when I first heard it, I was like, you know, I mean, the amount of stuff that you don't see. I was watching Derren Brown today, and the amount of stuff that you don't see, the amount of stuff that you get like indoctrinated with, and that's subliminal. You know, a game that does that isn't too shocking, to be honest. You know, I mean, like the amount of stuff that you actually see on TV as well, that's subliminal. And he's mad. And it's like having sex in Disney. And if you look at the Lion King, you know, if you look at, you know, the part where Mustafa comes up in the sky.
Mm.
Yeah.
If you freeze frame at the right point, it actually comes with the word sex. And I actually seen it. I was like, shit, man, I've been watching this for years. I've been watching, like kids watch this, and it's come up with sex. It's mad.
Well, apparently there's some dick references in The Little Mermaid. Apparently the palace is, there's a dick shape, and apparently the bishop's got a boner.
Yeah, it's got a massive, huge dong in the middle of the actual palace.
Yeah.
You know, you got all these characters all like cartooned up and they're looking all innocent. You see this massive dick in the middle of it all, and it's just like somewhere, something's just gone wrong. You know what I mean? Someone's just gone completely like doolally and drew a big fuck off cock. Yeah. You know what I mean? Which, although when I first saw it, I was laughing bollocks off at it. But afterwards, I was like, I mean, that's kids watching that. But like I said, subliminal stuff like that, it's been done for years, so it's nothing new. I'm just shocked that it's actually done into something I love, which is games. But I suppose it's all done now, isn't it? It's all advertising and this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
I'm worried about you two. What, you know, when you're not playing games and you're not looking for sexual references in Disney films.
It's not deliberate, believe me, it's not deliberate.
See, the thing is, I like to research stuff, because when I wasn't working, Now, I like to say that now. I'm working now, so I can feel like, well, when I wasn't working, I used to just go on the internet and just check out all these urban legends. And that's why I got a lot of this stuff. And this, that's how I found Polybus, like I said. It's by sheer by accident. And to be honest, a lot of the stuff you do find by accident. You do. You just come across it. Yeah, especially the stuff about, well, you know, in the Rescuers, is he? Rescuers, you know, the two little mice in Disney.
Oh, yeah.
There's a picture in the back with a nude, like, nude woman, drugs it and everything. No, I found that by accident as well. Who's got the phone?
It may.
Nick! But now it is quite mad what you actually hear about gaming and the different rumours and different things that are out there. So, yeah, we're going to have a quick break and have some music, then we'll be back in 5 minutes. Guys, it's been 5 minutes. We've had some music. But what have you guys been playing lately, man? What have you been doing?
Well, you know what? I had an Intellivision traded in on yesterday, so I've been playing that today. It's cool, man.
I've got to admit, that some of the old 70s, 80s games, they are quite cool. I mean, they're very basic. I mean, it's like the old Atari games. You know, I mean, a lot of people wouldn't really like see the charm in them. But if you're a gamer, you can see like where everything's coming from. It's like, for instance, Pitfall. Yeah, I mean, you can see Tomb Raider and that straight away.
Yeah. Well, this console's 32 years old, and it's actually, I think it's better than the Atari 2600.
Yeah.
I love it, man. The controller's wicked.
What's the controller name? Is it, it's like
a rectangle with a curly telephone cord.
Yeah.
And it's got, like, digits, like, number digits, and then it's got, like, a round disc at the bottom. And that's how you move, like left, right, up, down.
It's like a dial.
Yeah, but it's cool, man. It's like it hasn't got diagonals as such, but you can like go left and right in different increments. So it's actually really like groundbreaking for the time.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because obviously
the console itself just looks really retro. It's got like wood grain on the front, and it's got like gold plate on the top, and then with the curly telephone cord, it's just like proper retro.
Yeah, man, I've got to admit, I do love the very old ones. You know, I mean, the very, very early generation of consoles are beautiful, some of them, especially when they're good, like, in good nick and working. Because, to be honest, apart from like, the controllers and that, they're very robust. You know, I've got to admit, some of the Ataris I've actually seen, you know, they're in really good condition because they're just built to last. You know,
Well,
like tanks.
there's not much on them to go wrong, to be fair.
Well, now, because a lot of it was just basic circuitry, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Which obviously nowadays is very, very hard to see. Yeah, because obviously with stuff like the optical drives and that, it's like it's boards within like components and lots of different resistors and blah blah blah. So there's a lot that can go wrong.
Yeah, I had it in with about probably about 20 box games, and they've got like overlays like the Jaguar, Atari Jaguar had,
Yeah.
and they're all complete. It's like it was really nice to have it in.
Well, yeah, because obviously that's where the Jaguar came from. It was like trying to go back to the old school way of doing things, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But obviously, it didn't succeed as well as they hoped.
A bit too complex a controller, wasn't it?
Well, you just felt like he was, well, I could put it, it's like he was holding two Rottweilers.
Yeah, it's
You know what I
just
mean? It's just,
clunky, the Atari
it
Jaguar.
is, you know, you feel like you're about to have arthritis in your hands because it's just that blocky. Apart from the controller, I've got to admit, it was a great console. But the thing is, as well, they tried to run before they could walk. You know, like different stuff like the CD add-on. And well, basically, like not really taking consideration like the 2D games, because I mean, to be honest, the Jag would have been brilliant with 2D stuff.
Just have some
Yeah.
decent 2D games, I think. But it's got Rayman and Zool 2, I think. Decent enough games,
But the
but
thing is, though, there wasn't really exclusives as such, was there? There was ports. I mean, Rayman was a was it Rayman a port? I can't remember now.
yeah, Rayman was a port, but I think Zool 2 is the only one to be exclusive to Jaguar, as far as I know.
Oh, Zool 2 was Amiga.
Was it?
I'm sure it was on Amiga as well, because I know Zool 1 was, because I was a big fan of it. But I'm thinking Zool 2 was on the Amiga as well, but it didn't do as well. It was, because they introduced the female ninja with it, didn't they?
Think so, yeah.
Think, yeah, I'm not too sure. But either case, you know, it was a great system, just had a lot of flaws.
I think, like the N64 came out, and that was really trying to push like the 3D environments.
Yeah.
And I think Donkey Kong, although it was a decent game, it just didn't need to be 3D. It was better when it was 2D, like the SNES side-scrolling platform.
Well, it's like Sonic Adventure. You know, don't get me wrong, a lot of people will flame me for saying this, but I didn't think Sonic Adventure was as good as the 2D games. In the Dreamcast version, was it Dreamcast? Yeah, it was Dreamcast it was on.
Yeah.
And to be honest, it didn't do Sonic justice. You know, and that was the for me the fall of Sonic. As they say, it was like the beginning of the end for the Sonic franchise. Don't get me wrong, the new games that are coming out are still going out strong, but they still haven't got that quality like the 2D games. The first three games were absolutely phenomenal. Even the 3D game was cracking for its time. You know, although it was isometric, not proper 3D, it was a good game. But now it's just like, well, you try too much, you push. It's like it's almost like elastic band. You know, you pull it too far, and it doesn't go back to shape.
Yeah.
It's like that. You mean, you pull some like this franchise like that too far, it doesn't go back to what it was.
Yeah, sorry, man.
Yeah.
I think I've been another good game I've been playing, which I had in on Saturday, is iCarugo on the GameCube.
Yeah.
Have you ever
Yeah.
played that?
Oh, Craig, what was that again? You have to refresh my memory because.
It's like a shoot 'em up. It's your kind of game, I think, but it's actually a rare game. It goes for about 25 to 30 pound on eBay,
Yeah.
but it's a cracking game.
To be honest, I'm really up to date with the GameCube game because I didn't really play. I had one, but I didn't really use it that much. I think I used it for, I think it was Resident Evil 4 and the remake of Resident Evil. Because that's the only few games I was really interested on about. And also Eternal Darkness. Because I like those kind of games.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but that's the only games I've really played, so I wouldn't really know that much about that one.
It was interesting actually, because when you were talking about the arcade hoax, what was the game called again?
Polybus.
Yeah, that's it. That reminded me of Eternal Darkness, because the bit where the woman's lying in the bath.
Yeah.
Apparently, it was like sending people like crazy. It was like making them afraid to leave the house and stuff.
Well,
Giving them nightmares and all sorts of
yeah.
things like that.
The thing is that's just a case of being. I've it myself. It's overactive imagination, isn't it? Yeah, because it's like watching a horror movie. You know, as much as we'd like to say it's fake, it was always that thing in the back of the head zone. Well, what if that happened?
Yeah,
So it's one of them.
I think playing a game is almost worse than watching a horror film, because you're part of it, aren't you? And you've got control, and it puts you into like the world almost. So it's like It seems more real, do you know what I mean?
Well, a lot of it's kind of, it's causality, isn't it? You know, if you cause something that happens to you, it's your fault, and you have that in your mind, you can't control it. So, the side film that you can't control, it isn't so bad. But something you can control, it is it's a lot more... it cuts a bit more deeper.
Hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, but to be honest, that's why I stick to stuff like Street Fighter and that these days, because it's a lot more... I don't have to think about it. You know what I mean? If I lose a match, it's that. You know, if I die on a shooter, so that's it. You know, that's why I prefer arcades a bit more, because there's less into it. It's fun.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's less... what's the word I'm looking for? There's less pressure involved when you're trying to play a game like that. If you play
I could watch like any horror film, but there's still certain games that I play... And I know what's coming, but they still make me jump.
Oh, Resident Evil 1. I have still not completed that game for the simple fact being my dad played it when I was 8 years old. And the first time them dogs came through that window, I shat my pants. I literally did. I jumped a mile and I still haven't been able to play the game. Not all the way through. I'll get to a certain part, then I don't know what it is. I don't know whether I get distracted or something in the back of me that says, stop playing, just go and do something else.
It's the music and the lighting they use. It's almost like telling you to turn it off.
Oh, it's like the lab part right at the end. We hear the squelching. And you see these zombies just facing another zombie. It's like, oh, God, that's just terrible. And the other games don't bother me because I think they're a bit more action-based, but that one does fuck you up big time. You know, I mean, I've got to admit, it's still the scariest one out of a lot of them. You know, don't get me wrong, number 4, for me, is the best one. Yeah, number 2, followed quite closely. But number 1, if you wanna have brown stains in your pants... That's the one to go for.
Yeah, you know, it's games like that that make the huge impacts. And, you know, like the kids talk about in the playground and stuff.
Yeah.
And before you know it, everybody's heard of the game. Everybody's playing it. And it's things like that when people can push the boundaries that sell games.
Well, I remember like when it first came out, I was actually with friends with 2 lads at school and they played it. And that was just on about it constantly. And I've got to admit, it was one of them games that was like wildfire. It was just like literally one person talked about it. Next week, the entire school was on about it.
Yeah, I mean, in that sense, you can see why game producers themselves made these like hoaxes up and stuff just to like push the game and get it out there and get people talking about it.
Well, yeah, definitely, yeah. Yeah, because obviously any like publicity is good publicity, whether it's bad or good. And urban legends in a form is publicity. You know, like again, Polybus was supposed to be a fake game, and look at the amount of people know about it. It was actually in The Simpsons as a parody.
Yeah.
You know, if you get into The Simpsons, that's against like mainstream media. So out of nothing, it's become something.
I heard you had like government officials like confiscating the game and like analysing it and stuff, didn't you?
Yeah. What it was, the actual story is, it was it was like a really back alley like arcade, and there's like only 2 or 3 machines going about, and what it was supposed to be like people used to just get addicted to it, literally couldn't come off the game. They used to just think about it constantly. It was like that addictive. And what it was, they reckon that 2 blokes used to come round and like go around to these machines, not take the money. They used to actually just check on the what's it called, the stats. Like, basically, how they've been playing, what scores have been on there, so on and so forth. And one day, this person just disappeared. And no one else has actually heard about him since. And there's been a few people said they've got, like, rommed of the game. But there's always reasons why they can't actually produce the ROMs to actually be analysed and tested. So, yeah, and, like, the actual story behind it is when people have actually been on it, there's actually been a couple of suicides, which again goes to the puppet tales thing. You know, obviously we get something like that, and someone they say, for instance, I don't want to use it as an example, but I'm going to have to, Columbine with Doom. Obviously, it's been associated with something so bad, something like a school shooting. It gets just spiraled out of control, doesn't it?
Yeah, you see, like I'd never heard of Polybus, but. Having heard what you've got to say, I want to play it now.
Yeah, that's the thing. I actually downloaded it on the PC, and I got on it. Right, it fucks you up. Your head, afterwards, you're just spinning. But what it is, it's like a lot of optical illusions. You know, we get these optical illusions that send you, like, a little bit dizzy, or warps the air walls, so you look at them. It's just that. It's just literally going for that. You can get like a cheat on there, which lets you go into the eye functions, which is like, to be honest, I think it's completely stupid. There's like narcolepsy, insomnia, hypersomnia, night terrors, nightmares, so on and so forth. There's loads of different stuff, and it's just mad. You know what I mean? So they've actually put all these little details in it. But I haven't had no nightmares or anything, so. Saying that, though, when I'm asleep, I don't want to be dreaming anyway, so I don't, you know, I'm just dead to the world. But,
you know, obviously, like, I've been ill, like, the past couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And I had no energy. All I could do was, like, lie in bed, and I was playing the new Donkey Kong on the Wii.
Yeah.
And I was playing it all day, the one day. And when I tried going to sleep, I had the theme tune running around in my head. And I was having like some crazy dreams, like where I was like a monkey running around after bananas and stuff. It was horrible, man.
Oh,
but I'd been playing like Gran Turismo 5 the same day.
Yeah.
And all I could think is, why couldn't I be dreaming I was a race driver, like racing around in a Ferrari or something, instead of being a chimp? It was horrible. I think if you play anything long enough, it will stick in your head when you're trying to sleep. Definitely. Yeah.
But you got to admit, though, being a chimp's a bit more fun. You can throw shit at people.
It was the theme tune, you know. It was suddenly crazy.
Yeah. I've had that a couple of times, like, where I've played, like fighting games.
Yeah.
And I've actually, like, been fighting in my dreams. The one actual one night, I actually woke up and punched the sideboard and broke it. Yeah. So, it must have some kind of effect. But saying that, the mind works in weird ways, so... No, we're not really meant to understand it, so it's one of them. Saying that, though, like, if you play something enough, it just becomes a part of you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I know people actually like dreaming about COD because they played it that much.
When something occupies your mind for so many hours of the day, it's hard to switch off. You can't just, like, jump into bed and all of a sudden be expected to be thinking of something else, can you?
Well, it's like what I mentioned, like, last week. Well, not last week, the last episode, about, like, mental stability. You know, if you play some art, like, enough, it becomes reality. It does. Because you either start dreaming it or you start relating things to it. And obviously, if you got, like, enough problems... the amalgamates into something like suicide or something like that.
Mm.
Obviously, we're going to the extremes here, but again, if you have something like put into your mind that many times, it will do that to you.
You know, I don't understand all these like horror stories about games, because I don't know, when I play games with my mates and stuff, it just brings happiness and, you know, entertainment, and it's as simple as that.
The thing is, though, there's that many, it's always that one person to spoil it, though, isn't there? When it comes to these kind of things, you know, I mean, talking about games and that. Don't forget, though, a lot of these games were pre-internet, so yeah. A lot of it was Chinese whispers, as you mentioned earlier. So things were spun and things were, like, really, like, like, bolstered into something like a horror story.
It'll go like a Parasite, won't it? The more room, the stronger the rumours get.
Well, yeah, at the end of the day, obviously, you get more people behind the rumour. It becomes a truth, doesn't it? You know, it's like the Ermac thing with Mortal Kombat. You know,
I think people just like to speculate about negativity. I think you could have like 10,000 people enjoy a game, you could have one person commit suicide. And all you're going to hear about is the guy that committed suicide.
Well, yeah, because obviously everyone like focuses on negative things. You know, it's like, again, Columbine and Doom. You know, the guy who actually shot them kids was a psychopath, full stop. But because he was playing Doom, they blame Doom. But if you look at, like, the majority of people who play Doom, they are just normal people. I mean, it is a lot of people, especially like politicians who, to be honest, I don't want to get into like too much into politics now, but a lot of politicians have a lot of stock in game companies, and yet what they do is they actually make out something bad so people want to buy the game. Again, like we mentioned earlier, just to try it out.
Yeah.
So it gets more money for the company. And it's like, what was it now? It's one of the American politicians. He was actually put his fingers into a lot of pies financially, And it turns out he was actually having a go about one of his companies who was actually producing money for him so he could get more publicity for it.
It's a good way of advertising, though, isn't it?
Again, any publicity is good, isn't it?
Yeah, it reminds me, actually. I had a guy come into my shop about 4 or 5 days ago, and he works for an advertising company.
Yeah.
And basically, he's been making virals for stuff like Dragon Quest, Final Fantasy 13, and Donkey Kong. And I've checked out his work, and it's pretty cool. You know, when you watch the viral, you don't think you're watching an advert, but by the end of it, you want to go out and buy the game. Well, so it's actually really clever how people are, like, manipulating your mind.
Well, that's it, yeah. I mean, it's all about a case of being... A lot of time, these rumours are just about a case of being manipulating you, so you will go and buy it. Again, with Mortal Kombat on the SNES, in Mortal Kombat 2, is it? Or Mortal Kombat 1, you didn't have the blood. You just had the grey smoke.
Or grey smoke. I think there was 3 on the SNES, wasn't there?
Yeah, but it's, like, the main one that actually, like, everyone was after the blood code.
Yeah.
And everyone thought, well, you could get the blood in it, so we're going to buy that copy and buy that version of it. You know, again, it's just with the media and that, it does spin it out of control.
Yeah, it can be negative sometimes. Do you remember that story about the game Manhunt for the PS2?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, about those two kids who played it and then eventually one ended up killing the other one.
Well, saying that though, you know, in the film Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, they was playing that and they ended up hanging themselves. So really, you know, these people who slate games have got no room to slate it because across all the board, when it comes to media, you're still going to have people who are that influenced, especially kids.
Yeah, you say I don't understand about Manhunt on a PS2 because I heard it had been banned, but I don't struggle to find a copy. Like, I get it in quite often and it's not a valuable game either, so...
I think it's more of a case of being the original version, because it was there was a patch for it, wasn't there, to make it the full version. Because it was actually a lot of it was like blackened out. I know the first version was quite brutal in places.
Yeah, but the second... I don't know. Well, they obviously never changed the name then. I don't know. It's weird because people buy it and they're like, "Oh God, this has been banned. I bet this is like a valuable game," but it's not. It's like, you know, £4.
Yeah. It's just, again, rumour, isn't it?
Yeah.
Especially when people want to sell it. Yeah, you know, like, especially when it's a big company that's after, like, the massive profit margin.
I suppose it was a bit like Bully, because they had to change their name for that game, didn't they?
Yeah, changed to Camus Cam Edit or something ridiculous like that.
Candice Cam Edit, wasn't he?
Yeah.
It's Dog Eat Dog.
And for the Wii, release for the Wii and the Xbox 360, they named it Bully Scholarship Edition.
Yeah, which I think is stupid. Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you're going to put down some rules, keep to the rules. You know, obviously, rules change after time, over time, when things are a bit more relaxed than that. But if you're going to do something like that, keep to the original name.
It's just funny, because to change the name, but the gameplay was the same. You still went around bullying people. It was just called something else instead of Bully, but... The basics of the game were still there. So.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, obviously, the name really doesn't do much for the game itself. Obviously, when you're talking about like copyrights and that, fair play. But when it's just about the content of the game, it's stupid, really. It's like Manhunt. You know, I mean, why didn't they change the name of Manhunt? I mean, Manhunt's a lot worse than Bully.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. I mean, Manhunt, you're saying they changed the content, but they kept the name the same.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas Bully, they changed the name and left the content.
Oh, it's just mad, some people. I mean, just the way they think and the way they actually like do things like that, it's just crazy.
But at the end of the day, it could be like purely advertising.
Well, yeah.
You know, just get it out, get people talking about it and to get copies of it sold.
Well, to be honest, the second round wasn't nowhere near as good. I think it had to rely on its publicity to do any business.
It's just one step closer to going Manhunt, the kiddie edition, rated PG or something like that, wasn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, they had to be careful. Rockstar being Rockstar. Was it Rockstar now? It was, wasn't it? They had to push...
Pretty sure it is, yeah.
Yeah, they always seem to be Rockstar that make the controversial games.
Well, Grand Theft Auto and that.
Bully, Grand Theft Auto.
I think even Red Dead was a bit controversial, wasn't it?
Yeah, because it was kind of close to knuckle, wasn't it, in place?
Yeah, you got to kick dogs and stuff, didn't you?
Well, yeah, exactly. So, Yeah, I think it's all from coming from the same company, to be fair.
You can just imagine the producers at, can't you, down there? You know, they're all like crazy, like dreaming about kicking dogs and finding dildos in bins and stuff.
Oh, does anyone remember the game Postal 2?
What's that?
PC, Postal 2.
I've heard of it, yeah.
Fucking brilliant game. It's actually made by Run With Scissors. They are basically a bunch of nutters. And you basically go around pissing people's mouths and shooting people and just committing, like, mass murder. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't find that kind of thing, like appropriate for kids or anything like that. But when you're playing it, it's hilarious. I was thinking it was about 15, 16 when I was playing it. And I'll tell you something, I've never laughed my bollocks off so much. It's like Conkers, isn't it?
Yeah, not the original version. It was all swearing and stuff, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, because I remember there's one part where you have to jump onto like a big sunflower's tits to bounce up to the next part to get some money.
You see, I've actually seen like screenshots and bits of game footage from before it was released.
Yeah.
And it was all swearing and all sorts, and they had to really clean it up before they released it.
Well, a lot of it was beeped out. But to be honest, I think it would have been actually less controversial if it did have the swearing in it. You wouldn't have noticed it as much. Mm. You know, obviously, when you put like blackouts and beeps into like a game, something like that, people will notice it more, and they'll want to actually hear the original version more.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, you know, we were talking about like the people's minds that create the games. Like, I remember when normal people were creating 2600 games in the bedrooms and stuff. There were some real weirdos creating like mad games where you were like. Builders like masturbating into like witches, gobs, and stuff like that.
Oh,
really weird stuff.
Yeah, I'm on the AVGN episode with that about the Tory porn.
That's right.
One of them's called Beam and Eam, isn't it?
Did you see the one where you were like a cowboy and you had to get the woman up against the cactus?
General Custer's revenge, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Don't ask me why I know that game. You have to literally go up there and start just ravaging her. Well, the one where you was a rapist and you have to go around different people's houses.
You know, the more you talk, the more I worry about you.
It's the internet for you. You know, the internet is a bad place. Some days I'll just log off and just go do something else. it was actually created by the same company, wasn't it, Mystique?
Yeah. I had them under the counter in the game shops, didn't they, in special boxes?
Oh, it was like, you know, like we used to go, well, my dad used to go to a place called Bogies where he used to sell like all the old videos and that and rent them out. And it used to be like the Blue Movies. And you used to actually like rent them out just for like an extra like couple of quid. It's just mad. You know what I mean?
But now special leather casings for them.
Well, yeah, it's like
It's not a kiddies game. It's an adult game.
Yeah, but that never stopped him from selling it to kids, did he?
Can you imagine the guy though sitting there thinking, "I want to program a game, but what can I do?" And then all of a sudden, that idea pops into his head, and he thinks it's a winner.
Oh, it's just. I'm sure there's another one as well. Where he's a woman, and you used to go around being like, "Oh, I can't remember now. What was it? Now you used to go around people's houses and just shout." Yeah. They used to see it. It's just like, it's pixelated, just humping. It's just a mess.
You're basically a burglar, I think, aren't you? You go to burgle the house and end up doing something else.
Saying that, there's another game on the internet now called Super Street Fighter. Now, I don't know if you guys have heard it, but I know Retro Game 3 did a video about it.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that, yeah.
Fucking, it is. I was watching it with my missus, and I'll tell you something, I was sick. I was pig sick, man. My missus was just looking at me going, switch it off, sticks. It's disgusting. There's this one part where... Well, basically, the game's like Street Fighter, but what you do is you actually you fight and you end up causing damage to the opponent, and eventually the clothes come off. And I think it's all but one of the characters are actually women. And if you play as a bloke and you strip them down, you end up having sex with them, and you see everything. And I was just looking at the missus' face was just like a bright picture. And lucky enough, the kids weren't about, so.
I think that's like proof that games are just trying to go as extreme as they can get, and I don't think
it's shock value.
Yeah, I don't think they can go much further, can they?
Well, apart from being like basically just all out porn, which they have done.
Have you ever played Leisure Suit Larry?
Yeah.
That's a weird game, isn't it? You try and chat up the women and and try and take them back to your place. And if you play it correctly, you end up getting with them. Or if you've been a bit of a jerk, they like slap you around the face and stuff.
See, I remember the original version on the MS-DOS, because I used to play a lot of games on PC. And I mean, one of the things was, you used to go around, you see these women, and there's like, they used to be just like little blobs of just pixels. And you're supposed to chat them up. And obviously nowadays, with technology being the way it is, it's a bit more realistic and the game's a bit more in-depth with you.
I've played it on a PS2 and the graphics are pretty good. Like, you don't have to use your imagination, put it that way. And there's like certain bits where you have to like swim sperm and try and get them in a hole and stuff.
Oh,
and the game's actually called Magna Cum Lord.
Awesome.
But you know, games like that, you got to stick them in just for like, I don't know, just something that interests you about it.
You're like
drawn to it, aren't you?
You feel naughty playing it because you shouldn't be playing it because it's porn. It is just almost like a soft porn, isn't it?
Yeah. You're just drawn to it just out of like interest.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's obviously when someone's telling you that like, it's an 18, it becomes more of a bit more of an achievement by playing it.
I think for me, it just intrigues me to see how far someone's gone with a game.
Yeah, you know, it is kind of crazy now what they actually are doing in games like that. You know, don't get me wrong, I'd never actually buy a game just for the sex factor because, you know, you've got stuff like, what's that game called now? The Zombie Bikini Samurais. That fucking stupid game. And you've got stuff like Dead Alive Volleyball. You know, I mean, them are just literally just for the tits.
I used to get like the PlayStation magazine, and I remember reading about a game that's coming out, and it was like you could direct your own like porn films. But I don't know if it actually ever came out because I never saw it or heard anybody talk about it.
By any chance, do you know what the name was? Because I'm gonna have to have a look now, see if it actually did exist. Because that sounds like really cool. It sounds like movies, but like with like X-rated thing.
Whose phone is that? Is that you, Nick?
It's got to be Nick's. You're telling me, because I ain't got my phone with me.
I've turned mine off.
No, my phone's not going. It's silent at the minute.
It's coming up for the RF, mate. That's why. It's the RF signal going for the speakers.
Oh, okay.
No worries. But now it is kind of crazy, like all the different like elements that people put into these kind of games. You know, they really do put some detail into them as well. They actually spend hours like drawing a sprite for like sperm, as you said, with Leisure Suit Larry.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does take a twisted mind to get to that kind of level of detail. It really does.
Certainly does, yeah.
You know, the amount of different sayings he comes out with, it's like, it is actually pretty funny to see what he's going to say, because he's got some really bad chat up lines and some of them are really crude.
I think the old, like, charm with Leisure Suit Larry is a case of being, because it is just a piss tech. It ain't serious, as in the game is meant to just on about shagging in. Obviously, I know the actual old point of it is just go and get a woman, but I think it's a bit more of a, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a bit more of a parody than anything else.
Yeah, it's not supposed to be, like, sexually, you know, it's not supposed to be, like, a turn-on, but it's just, like, funny. It's like a challenge, almost. It's just a funny challenge.
Well, yeah, you know, it's just a case of being, it's like them old text games you used to get on the PC. You know, and you spend hours just typing in different commands just to see if you can get past that one part. And obviously, when you do get to that part that you want to be at, it is an achievement.
Do you remember those old games, like on the Atari ST, and they were like text-based adventures? So you'd press like some keys and you'd say, do you want to go up, left, right, or whatever? You press left and it would say, you've hit a tree.
Yeah. I actually played one on Newgrounds recently where you was about to shit yourself and you have to get to the toilet. And I spent a good hour just playing it.
So it was like a comedy spin-off.
Yeah, it's like exactly the same thing. It's like, what's it called now? Adventure or something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, you see, I played it like actually not that long ago, like probably like 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yeah,
and it really made you realise how far gaming's come on. When you were typing in all this stuff just to move like one square, and then it was just coming up with text. Yeah. It couldn't even produce an image.
Well, like there was games like what was it now, The Orbit on the Spectrum.
Yeah.
That game irritated the shit out of me. Because you used to literally come up with a few lines that was supposed to be the shiter, and it used to tell you what you used to do. And to be honest, I used to just put down, kill everyone, kill the entire party, and it used to end the game there and then. Which I found was hilarious. I could kill, like, Frodo and just be half and done with me. Which I reckon he also done in the original films. But I think I think it wouldn't have been that much of a good film, would it, if they just kill off the main character straight off?
Nah.
You see, like, the Atari and... I mean, not the Atari, like, the Amstrad, Commodore, maybe, like, the old Atari CPC. You know, like, the tape-based games?
Yeah.
I mean, like, they're pretty primitive, aren't they? But, I mean, like, the Intellivision and the 2600, like, the cartridge-based games, they're just really fun to play. I think I'd rather play cartridge-based games than, like, tapes and floppy disks.
I've got to admit, though, the Amiga, when that came out, because obviously that was more like a 16-bit system than anything else. Its processor was absolutely phenomenal. It was like, it was the same, more or less the same spec as a Mega Drive. It had the same processor. It was a Motorola 6800 or 68000. And it was just absolutely phenomenal. I mean, obviously the earlier ones, it was... I think it's a case of being there was trying to be multimedia, a lot of the older pieces. Mm. So obviously the Spectrum, the Amstrad, and so on and so forth were more originally based for educational purposes.
Yeah.
So they didn't need that much, as in like data.
I class all like the 16-bit and 32-bit, 64-bit, all as like retro gaming. But I think before that, it's almost vintage gaming now, isn't it? Like the tapes and the floppy disks and stuff.
Well, if you ask most collectors, a lot of them don't know about the... what the actual technology is about, with the tape decks and stuff like that, the tape deck and PCs. Because it is becoming now, it's like become like almost a company. It's getting the leagues of like old Valve PCs. You know, a lot of people don't know about them because they aren't not there, not seen them, or not experienced them.
Well, I suppose like when these older consoles were out, there was no way of discussing it like, you know, via the internet or anything. Whereas when the PS1 and the N64 came out, you had people chatting about them like, on online forums and stuff that.
Obviously, you had stuff like Usenet, but that was only like really for the hardcore nerd, wasn't it, really?
Yeah.
And you had like a lot of the BBS and the freaking sites and stuff like that, but you know, obviously, unless you had like a lot of background knowledge. I think that's why the arcade scene is so strong. You know, it's still got that element of unity with it, because... it was a place where people got together. So obviously people talked about it. And I think that's why going back to the actual subject of the podcast, like Polybus was still going, still got information, people still snowballed it and got into the big thing it is today.
I'll definitely be checking that one out, that Polybus.
I've got to admit though, don't play it in a dark room. Make sure you've got plenty of light around you. Make sure you've got someone next to you as well. Just in case you go into a fit, because it has actually been known to cause fits. Yeah,
it's like one of those things, though, isn't it? Like, if you say don't do it, it almost makes me want to go and do it now. I'm going to be sitting in the pitch black, all the curtains drawn, like, just watching Polybus.
I was actually, this is going to sound kind of bad, but I was actually sitting in the settee. I just got up one morning. I was sitting in my pants, just eating my breakfast, and I just saw this link come up on the sites. And one of the sites, and basically I clicked on it, and I was sitting there in pants for a good hour just playing this game, getting my arse kicked on it, but I just couldn't just draw myself away from me. It was just hypnotising. So that's why I was just in my pants all day. I bet you really wanted an hour there.
Well, at least you don't make your videos while sitting in your pants. That would be a bit weird.
Yeah, but you only see the top half of me.
Oh god.
You don't see the rest.
It's like you quite look at boxes and a t-shirt then.
Say again.
You got boxes and a t-shirt then.
Sometimes.
That's just wrong.
We should go much further into this topic of what we wear when we're making videos.
A tutu. It wouldn't be the first time we've been in a tutu.
I'll take your word for it.
No, seriously, I actually went to this one Halloween party and I went up as a gay Hitler. Don't ask me why. So I was actually dressed up as a Hitler on my head and the rest of me was like a woman. Dead funny.
You really wanted to go as like a Mario. Like, just dress up as Mario and go to a party. Yeah. I think that'd be pretty cool.
I've actually got a mate, Luke Morgan, Super Lucas Brothers on the YouTubes. He actually did that with his missus. It was actually quite kind of cool.
Who was she, Princess Peach?
I think she was Luigi, because she was quite tall.
You know, I've been checking out, there's more and more people getting like gaming tattoos. Have you seen them?
To be honest, I was only getting some myself. I was only trying to get a sleeve and cover these tattoos I got, because I got some, if you haven't seen my tattoos, they are quite shit. That was done by Scratchers, and I want to get a sleeve, and I'm actually on about getting a gaming sleeve on my left arm.
Yeah, some of them look amazing. I've seen people who've got like Duck Hunt with the Zappers, and like Mario sleeves, and Legends of Zelda, and all sorts, and they look amazing.
Well, yeah, because to be honest, the artwork, if you get the original artwork, and it's quite in good condition. Yeah, I mean, it's quite easy to transfer it onto tattoos, especially if you've got this tattoo artist.
Yeah, I think that like really would symbolise your passion for it, wouldn't it? Because you can't get any more devoted than that, can you?
Well, I don't know so much. You know, I've had a mixed missus name on there, and to be honest, it does suck. You know, because it's stuck there forever. But it's one of them. You know, if you're passionate enough to it about doing it, you'll do it.
Yeah, I know one person who's actually got tattoos on Mega Man, because he's such a huge Mega Man fan.
Yeah.
He's on YouTube. Well, he's a co-host for the show Happy Console Game. I'm not sure if he's
Rob Mann.
Rob Mann.
Yeah, I know.
He's a big fan of Mega Man. He's got tattoos and everything.
See, now I'm more of a shooter fan, so I don't know what actually would have. I wouldn't know what I'd have, because you have like a Vic Viper or a Silverloo or what. You know, when you're a bit more of a shooter fan, a bit more of an arcade fan, you don't seem to get as many like. Many designs. Sound like that, I could have something like Street Fighter on it. Couldn't I?
You could have anything. The world is your oyster.
Oh, I suppose.
But just be careful which one you get. Say if you get a Mario tattoo and you go into like a Sega convention with all hardcore Sonic fans, and they see you with a Mario tattoo, then you're pretty much screwed.
Yeah, but if I'm going to get a tattoo like that, I'll probably get on my arse or something like that, so I ain't going to show my arse off.
Okay.
Yeah, something like that would be down below, because that's the only place that's actually free at the moment.
So if you ever make a video on your gaming tattoos, I'll make sure not to watch that one then.
No. It's not a good idea. Unless you're into that kind of thing. So you're going back onto like weird stuff on the internet. We really have gone off a topic on this one, haven't we?
Yeah, this podcast has gone weird from talking about porn and tattoos on your arse and all sorts of crap.
Hey, at least it's entertaining. You've got to give it that.
Steve sitting in his pants.
Yeah, that's if you're lucky, that's what I mean. And tutus, don't forget tutus. Mm. It was actually this one year I went to a biker's bar dressed as a woman. I got butt raped by that many bikers that it was unreal. Not literally butt raped, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Actually got the photo somewhere. I'm going to have to show you. I look rather fetching, to be fair.
You know, I think, like, you've just tortured yourself sitting in front of all these guys, like Polybus and stuff. You've, like, really warped your mind.
It was way before I started playing games. It just made it worse. I've just got an excuse now.
Well, at least everyone listening to the podcast has got something to laugh about.
What are you trying to say? It's funny. It's not funny. It's quite.
I'm not trying to say that. I'm saying they've got something to laugh about, something humorous, especially like with VAT going up and everything else.
Oh, that sucks, man. How is it actually affecting you, Craig? Because obviously you're a businessman. How is it affecting your price? Is it as the VAT price like knocked you about or something?
No, it hasn't actually. Because I buy like all my games in off people. You know, the public, they bring them in to me. I don't have wholesalers and such. So I buy stuff in for the same price and sell it for the same price, to be honest. I think in that way, I'm lucky that I don't have wholesalers and stuff to rely on. So,
well, to be honest, obviously, everyone knows that at the minute everything's going tits up when it comes to our money. You know, and I'm actually kind of glad to see the gaming community isn't affected that much. You know, I've seen all the big companies like GameStation, Game, they are still putting the prices up, but... You know, it's good to see a lot of the independent traders still keeping with you.
Yeah, like all my prices are the same. There's no increases or anything, so still loads of bargains to be had.
Oh, to be honest, mate, I was just on about the miss, like, to the missus, like when I found out I got this job, that I'll be spending massive wages at yours. You know, I might as well just put me like me wages straight into your bank account. You know what I mean? It's mad.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Like, there's just so many different games and consoles to collect, isn't there? I don't think you could ever, like, walk into a game shop and think, "Oh, there's nothing here for me."
Well, that's the other thing, you know, I mean, like, I think that's why a lot of people do turn to gaming, because it's like music, you know, there's everything to everyone's taste. You know, there's something that for that one individual person that you can, like relate to and use.
Yeah, I think, like, if say if you walked into game, for instance, it would be maybe a bit harder to find something for yourself because a lot of the more recent games are kind of similar, aren't they?
Well, yeah, obviously, because obviously it's what sells. But again, I think that's why people turn back. We're going on this subject again, but we do this every week, every episode. We go back to the same subject. But it is right. That's why people turn back to retro gaming. It's because there is more variety out there. The gameplay is better, and it just is a better scene for. I don't want to say proper gamers, but gamers who have grown up with games. You know, a bit more stuck in, not so much stuck in the ways, but who know the value of games. You know, when you buy a game, you want it to be different and be memorable.
Well, that's why I've been loving this in television so much because it came with like a big bundle of games and quite a few of them were the games I had as a kid. So playing them like really brought back the memories and it was like really good fun. It was like a trip down memory lane for me.
Well, that's the
So
other thing, yeah. I mean, obviously, it's that satisfaction. It's like, I'm gonna plug this a bit now, but my arcade Vblog, you know what I mean? Obviously, I've never had an arcade machine as such, but a lot of the games that I play on the PlayStation and on the SNES, I can play in the original format. It's just awesome. It is brilliant. And to see where they've come from. And that's what it is. It's a case of being. It's like the roots. Going back to the roots of
it's
everything.
just like going back in time,
Well,
10,
yeah.
15, 20 years, like whenever it may have been. It's just mad, isn't it? Like all of a
It's
sudden,
mad.
you're a kid again.
Well, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, the missus who just bought me, because it's my birthday in 2 weeks' time. It's on the 24th, by the way. Nick and Craig, remember that.
Yeah.
24th of January is my birthday. But my missus just bought me Street Fighter 2 for the arcade. And I've got to admit, you know, I'm really excited about it because it's like having a proper game again. It's like having a proper game for like a proper gift, not just another like Xbox game. It is mad.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it, when you've got like some kind of emotional attachment to a certain game.
Oh, don't get me wrong, I'm shit at like Street Fighter. I am absolutely probably the worst player on Street Fighter, but the fact that I'm actually getting something that I really like and something I've grown up with. Because I used to play on the Amiga more than anything else. I had the Amiga version, which like was horrendous for disc swapping, but it was a good game and it just childhood memories again. Saying that though, it was all bad memories because my daddy used to kick my arse and it made me cry. He used to literally make me sit there until I cried. Because he just wanted to whoop my ass that much.
Yeah, you see, I've got like a 10-year-old brother,
Yeah.
and he used to have an N64, and we'd always play GoldenEye,
Yeah.
and he'd always nag me to play it, and then we'd play it for like 20 minutes. I'd keep kicking his ass, and then he'd be like, "Yeah, I don't want to play this anymore," you know. And the same thing happened like every week. It got pretty funny in the end.
It is mad. You know, to be honest, I don't try and do that because I don't play well with others anyway. You know, I usually swearing at him in front of the controller at him. You know, I'm just a bad loser. And I've got my mum's trait for that. I literally will start getting violent if I can't win. I'm really am spoilt like that. But, it's mad how we just like try and rub it in. You know, we try and win at something, we try and rub it in the faces. It's dead funny.
I'm not one of them people that can like go easy on somebody because if I'm
Oh,
playing
I'm
a
sorry,
game,
yeah.
I want to win.
At the end of the day, I've taught people and I've always said to people the best way to learn is the hard way. You lose so many times and you'll learn quicker. But the problem is that when I lose, I don't like it. So it's like it's a bit of a catch-22. It's been a bit hypocritical in my part.
Yeah, so not when you're trying to beat someone, but then you get your ass kicked and you're like second from the bottom, or you're at the bottom because if you're playing online, you get your ass kicked so much.
At the minute, I've got Golden Tee in the arcade cab, and my missus is youngest. For some reason, he's got a knack with it. It's a trackball game, so he's got some kind of knack with it. I was like, he's got small hands or what, but he always seems to whoop my arse. And I've got to admit, I've kicked him out that room so many times, it's unreal. It is just bad. You know, every other game I kick his arse on, but that game it always gets me, and that's why I'm changing the game up for something I can play, so I can at least have a fighting chance.
Yeah.
I'm not that with Tekken. I can like beat my missus on any game but Tekken.
Button bashing, that's why. It's got to be in it.
I try button bashing, but nothing happens. I'm just crap at it.
I'm not being funny to your missus, but does she do button bashing?
Yeah, but she knows the order to bash him in, so...
That's the problem, you see, because, like, I'm not being funny to women, I'm not being sexist, but you find most women, they're button bash and end up completely kicking your ass. I don't know what it is, it's just something to do with, they seem to have some kind of knack. You know, I mean, they just seem to get a rhythm, and they end up just completely destroying you. My mom did it. She used to play Street Fighter a lot. And, to be honest, she used to fucking do well, considering she wore a gamer as such.
Well, I don't know where to get that knack from, do you?
I have no idea. Yeah, you know, it must be something to do with, like, you know, like women only have like periods and like childbirth and so on and so forth. It must be like something was being born with, button bashing. You know, something in the genetics. Something in that's not in the the white chromosome, and we don't have it.
Must be trying to prove themselves that women deserve equal rights or something.
Mate, believe you me, we all know, and to be honest, a lot of the guys out there know that women are the stronger sex. As much as we like to try and make out we are, you know, they're going to kick our asses in the end. And even if they lose, they'll start sulking, start slapping us about. So we might as well just... I'm not saying they'll actually like give up and not play properly, but we all know they don't need to prove anything.
You know, I wouldn't mind seeing more female gamers around, because I think out of all the customers I get in my shop, perhaps, I don't know, probably between 5 and 15% are female, so not a lot really.
The problem is, though, women, what it is, they're a bit more practical, aren't they, when it comes to like stuff like that. I've got to admit they are. You know, like my missus is quite practical when it comes to finances, yeah. And you know, I'd rather spend all my money on games, but she'll like go, well, I'd rather do so and so and get something sorted. So maybe that's what it is.
Females do tend to grow up quicker, don't they? Like, whereas guys, like, you know, like to act as kids and hold on to the youth, and women just want to like grow up, have kids, get married, and move on.
Yes, my missus, and she'll tell you, I'll never grow up. I never will.
Yeah,
I like it this way, though, so...
Yeah, my missus had to go me for having too many consoles the other day.
See, my missus keeps doing that, but I keep saying to buy more. I don't seem to be listening. I really have got to start listening, because you tell me that, she's going to start kicking my ass. She really is, man. Yeah, you know, she wasn't too happy with the arcade machine. And I can't blame her, because it is a huge piece of equipment. And... it has stuck up most of my gaming room. And she wasn't too happy when it came up. And I actually had to have three of us to take it into the back room. She wasn't too pleased at all.
See, I'm lucky because my other half wants like a gaming room eventually when we got like a bigger place.
Yeah.
So we're going to have like pinball machines, arcade cabinets, the whole lot. So.
Well, I've got to admit, my missus is quite good like that. I mean, she does accept the fact that I'm a gamer and I will play games. And she does get involved, but... I think it does start drawing the line when I say with the entire like first floor just games. You know, I mean, that's the front room, the kitchen, and the back room just full of games and stuff about games and that. You know, I don't think she's too happy about that. But yeah, it's one of them. Anyway, guys, we've run out of time. And Craig, do you want to plug your shop as usual?
Yeah, like pop on down because I've had loads of new stuff in this week. Loads of cool games, loads of new consoles. So. It's the Sutton Market, which is in Sutton Carfield. It's 65 South Parade. If you're putting us into a sat-nav, it's B721QU. So that's Retro Station. Check us out.
Nick, plug your channel.
Yep, it's the same as usual. And on YouTube, highly an audio viewer. I haven't got any new videos recently because I'm trying to work on some high-definition videos because I've got a HD camcorder for Christmas. But hopefully I should have... some new videos up soon, hopefully.
You flash bastard, have an HD. You know, I've got to stick with the old, like, DVD quality. Yeah. And obviously, you guys know me. I'm AMD47. Just search me on the old internets, on the YouTubes, and I shall pop up with my ugly mush. Hopefully not in my pants.
Hopefully not in a 2-2 either.
What's wrong with a 2-2? What's damn wrong with 2-2? You know what? You people have just got Nashville or whatever sense of adventure at all. 2-2s are fun. They're very comfortable.
I'll take your word for it.
Anyway, guys, this is Channel 36. This is MyMD47 signing off, and I'll catch you guys later. Ta-da!
Bye.
See ya.